Welcome to the town hall meeting. People want to move forward, we'll pass around the microphone for comments. We've got the outside world is also in here. And courtesy of Reinhardt, whom I forgot to say thank you to before, but Reinhardt has been taking care of getting the video out, getting the outside world in, our little window to the rest of the universe. So a little bit of history on just where the Tickle Conference has come and gone from over the years. The original one was done at UC Berkeley back in the dark ages. And I... Okay. So back in the light ages, Gerald ran the second one, and I think you guys took financial risk and just decided to run it, correct? Okay. After that, USENIX took over and they ran things for us.
The third one was USENIX Publicity, but a company also took financial risk.
Oh, okay.
Toronto.
Okay, Toronto USENIX assisted. Okay, yeah. So USENIX took over running it for quite a while. USENIX has been very good to the Tickle community. They viewed it as part of their charter is to encourage new technologies, and Tickle was a new technology to be encouraged. Unfortunately, after the .com crash, USENIX's main forms of getting money stopped making money, and they couldn't afford to run the conferences that they normally ran as a net loss, as a loss leader. So we kind of got thrown on our own, active state, and Jeff took the first year, and I've taken the financial risk and benefit from the last 3 years. Did the first one in Ann Arbor. Gerald ran the second one in New Orleans, taking care of most of what was going on. And then this year, Ron Fox and Brian have stepped in to help out. And of course, there's always been the group of people that are on the committee that help with the papers. do an awful lot of the background work, but aren't putting in quite so much serious hours all the time. One of the upsides from this is that we've kept the conference going. I think that's a good thing. I think it's good for the Tickle community to have the conference keep going. Downside is that we've become almost as reliant on me as we were on USENIX, and I think that's not a good thing. What I want to do over the next year is form a Tickle corporation to own the conference, and then the corporation will provide a body that can take the good years. This year is going to make a profit, and put that into a bank account. We'll have an entity to hold that money for bad years. New Orleans, we barely broke even, and that was only by cutting some corners. Yeah. Like Gerald and I did not get paid for teaching our tutorials, for instance. So that's something that I think is going to happen over the next year, because I think it's a good thing to happen. I'm going to set up a mailing list when I get home so that we can get more input, because one of the things we'll have to do is put up a set of bylaws. And on one level, I want to make sure that the bylaws are open. But at the same point, we want to keep them not so open that Church of God or something doesn't come in and, radical right-wing Republicans or whatever, or left-wing floozies don't come in and take it over because it's a nice little built, something I already incorporated. I don't know. Which one are you? Oh, okay. I couldn't remember whether you were the right-wing Republican or the left-wing floozy. But that's it. Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, this is Cliff talking right now. So I'm interested in getting suggestions. What I don't want to do is repeat the Tickle Consortium. Very definitely, the corporation to own the Tickle Conference will make a profit, will save that profit. Once we have enough of a nest egg in that, we can take the money to do good things that are necessary, bring in speakers, people that could not otherwise afford to come to the conference. There'd be something that would pay for them to come up, buy the Tickle domain namespace as it needs to be paid for, and things like that. But mostly it would be something that would hold the money. And if it doesn't make money, then maybe we've made a big mistake. I don't think we need to have membership fees. That doesn't seem to be appropriate. So regarding this year's conference, besides the wireless network, are there any problems that should have been addressed?
Well,
Yeah.
Obviously, we produce less hot air than they're used to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Will Duquette's comment was that we produce less hot air than people are used to having in a room this size. So, yeah, we have no excess of temperature in here. Any other comments or questions about the potential corporation? Yes.
But, you know, those of us who are coming to the conference, obviously we're getting additional benefit for the social interaction, talking to people online. But,
I'm sorry. I think one of the things the corporation would have to address is the worldwide broadcasting and the virtual attendance at the conference. While maybe shouldn't be paying as much as actual attendance, I think they need to realize they're getting a benefit from this, and there should be some compensation to the corporation if we're going with a corporation. For attending? Well, okay, if opportunity cost, Mark, come on, seriously. If enough people decide, well, I'll just listen to it from home, yeah, I don't get to go, you know, click my glass with Mark, then the Tickle meetings are going to fail because the corporation won't make enough to keep going to put the next one on. And I'm not saying it should be approximating the fee, but I think, you know, people are deriving a benefit and they should have at least a nominal cost. And that's just my opinion.
Let's find a way to get them more involved and make it more interesting for us.
How do the attendance numbers for this conference compare with the previous one?
This year is about double.
So you ran a free online broadcast service last year, and the immediate result was a doubling of attendance.
Was it? How many people? We advertised.
Comparison with last year might be an unfair thing. It's probably worth looking at it over the 5-year period, say, or 3-year period.
Good point, but it's an advertising.
We understand it didn't destroy the conference in 1 year. We also spent money on advertising this year.
So there was no advertising beforehand for the audio broadcast. If there were, I'm sure a few people would probably have stayed home and listened in. Maybe not a large – I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure a couple people would have decided that way. So it wasn't really announced that we're doing audio until the conference started.
So my information from running the audio broadcasts both years was that – only those who didn't have a chance to make it used the audio broadcast. Actually, this year the online audience was lower than last year, and the on-site audience was actually bigger than last year. Last year we've had some between 20 and 30, and this year it was varying between 10 and 20.
If you start charging for it, we're going to have to provide a professional service. Okay. And all that entails. Not that Reinhard's service isn't professional, but, you know, if people are paying money, then dropouts aren't going to be, they're going to expect more.
Okay. No, Steve's comment is good because we are relying on whatever the hotel will give us for network. Now, this is the conference committee is fully volunteer. The only people who get paid are the people who deliver tutorials. And so far as the cost goes, it doesn't cost the conference anything to do this. It cost Steve Redler money that he did for shipping. It's cost Reinhardt his time and money. And really, the volunteers are what make this work. The conference is in the black. The reason that if USENIX ran it, it would be heavily in the red, because we just don't pay for people to actually run the conference.
The obvious comment is, besides professional quality, I agree, we would be paying, if we were charging for it, just like we pay the tutorial authors, I would think Reinhardt and Steve would be getting something. It would be only appropriate, but of course, just like we expect the tutorial authors to have a certain level of service, we would expect that too. Not that you haven't provided it, I'm just saying.
I think it's a potential issue.
It's a potential issue.
Who thinks it isn't an issue right now?
Can I rephrase that? I think the benefits of a free broadcast far outweigh the cost as things stand. I agree with what Gerald was saying.
Okay.
But I really can't see that we're at that position at the moment, nor are we likely to be in the next year or two.
Okay. Yeah, part of the reason that we haven't done anything to date is just the lack of infrastructure to say, you know, $20 to hook up, and no, we haven't had the infrastructure to say somebody has registered for the audio visual portion, which is just as simple as putting together the websites and.
There's been a problem. The streaming server I'm using can't do listener authentication.
Okay. Yeah, I think
it.
Yeah, and I think I'll agree that at least at this point it's a better advertising tool than it is for what we lose. And yeah, if we did it professionally and charged money, we mean we'd have to talk about getting a real T1 line for the course of the conference. And
for the numbers we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. If the hotel hadn't, Carol Lynn in Expotech has a wireless router. I have a wireless router, and we said, "Oh, the hotel is giving us wireless. Good. We don't that much less we have to pack." And speaking of people who do get paid, Carol Lynn gets paid for what she does because that's her business is running conferences, and that's another one that I really owe a lot of thanks to. These things wouldn't happen if Carol Lynn weren't taking care of all of the details. Yes. CodeRx2, yes. It would be a good thing for the Tickle conference to do the corporation to do other good things rather than run the conference. But I think the conference would be its primary income. I would like to see, my own stupid wide-eyed ideas would be things like a student contest for best Tickle application. Possibly some sort of grad student stipends, paying some of the maintainers. If there's some tip that we really want in, it would be somebody to give somebody time to actually make it worth their while to take a vacation and not get paid for a week.
Seems to me that if sitting at home listening to an occasionally broken audio stream and not being able to see the slides is more attractive than actually going somewhere and getting to sit and participate with everybody, we got to work harder at making the conference interesting. If that's, give away door prizes or something.
You didn't get your door prize?
Now, one of the things that has also happened over the years is the Tickle audience has changed. When I first attended the Tickle conference, it was probably 80% grad students and academics. Do we have anybody from academia here today? Well, okay, yeah, but you're staff. You're not a student. the people we have here are staff, not people that are teaching classes or grad students. We're almost all really, even you guys really count more as industry than.
Yeah.
Well, computer science professors, though.
Is your enterprise built?
I got one of those, actually. Take another one. That's fine.
But that is something that we need to address for what makes this conference more interesting. Because what made it interesting to the guys that were doing computer science research 20 years ago, 15 years ago, is not what makes it interesting to somebody who's got a project due next week and is trying to find the best platform to develop on.
I think the things that we need to focus on to make the conference interesting, again, go hand in hand with this corporate idea. One of the places where I felt it was difficult to bring out some of the papers that could have been here is it would have been nice to have a fund for invited talks where you can pay transportation or reimburse part of the transportation. I think there was at least one or two cases where we missed out on some papers that I think everyone would have been interested in, but the presenters couldn't get here.
Yeah, particularly true of the members of the core team that are overseas, those transatlantic or not in the U.S. Non-domestic air flights are expensive. And yes, that's something I would like to see. My idea for the corporation is first to put together enough of a nest egg that we can weather a year that is really horrible. And it also makes it easier to get volunteers to run it if you don't say, yeah, you can run the conference, and if it loses money, you could lose your house. That's the kind of thing that dissuades people from volunteering a lot. Actually, the conference is a small enough budget that I don't think anybody would lose their house for it, but it could make life unpleasant.
Just out of curiosity, what it is, and so people around here know if they're considering
not going,
what was the budget for the
conference? Costs range roughly in the 10 to 20K range, and the income runs roughly 10 to 30K, depending on just what all is happening. And so the best year we've ever had about a $10,000 profit, which is a very healthy profit for a volunteer organization. You know, doesn't pay USENICs. You know, for USENICs, that's a $90,000 loss. but it's money that I would like to see roll over. It certainly is enough to do airfare. And you know, a couple of years, we should have enough in the bank that we can afford to bring in people that we want to see. So my intent is to roll that into the new corporation this year. Once I see where all of the, you know, once all the dust is settled and all of the bills have come in. Other questions? Yeah.
Okay. How would we choose the officers for the corporation? Would they just be self-selected?
Will's question was, how are we going to select the officers? And I don't have a real good idea. One of my thoughts was to make the core team the board of directors, who don't actually do anything, but they have the power to appoint the people that will. And that seemed like it might be a way to maintain stability and give us a group that would be open enough to be stable and still people that are actually running the conference and stuff. It could be anybody who volunteers, like being a tickle maintainer. You just have to prove that you're not going to be, you know, not do something stupid.
Steve R. suggests soliciting industrial support, which is basically how the conference had been running these last 11 years, kind of indirectly, but, you know, with your corporation or CPU,
or, yes,
et cetera, supporting it. Can you relay that?
Okay. Gerald's comment in response to Steve's comment was that basically we've been doing the Tickle Conference with industrial support since forever, actually. You could consider USENICs an industrial support, and certainly CPU supported it, Active State has supported it. The last few years, Numina supports the conference.
A comment from Ron to AKU is he wouldn't hear silence if he was here.
Ron's comment to Andreas is that if he came here, he wouldn't hear silence. Every so often we forget to pass the microphone around. And John?
Well, I don't need that really. What kind of entity are you considering?
Some variety of a corporation, not for profit. if we can do the not-for-profit educational routine, that would be ideal. But I know those things take, they're hard to get, and there's a lot of legal hoops to jump through. I've talked a little bit with a lawyer in Ann Arbor that has set up small technical groups before. The kinds of things like the organization that runs a Linux conference. Because a lot of those things are basically the same model that we're using of an amateur organization that needs a corporate entity to protect the volunteers and hold money from year to year. Yeah. Yeah, we could encourage donations to that also, as well as, like I said, I don't want to follow the Tickle Consortium model of asking for membership fees. I don't think that was the right model.
I mean, that was more intended to raise money for doing real marketing as opposed to
kind of stuff. Yeah. I could see the Tickle Corporation, whatever it is, doing some variety of marketing.
Not likely with the amount of money we're talking about.
No. Yes. Yeah, Mark's comment was that rather than trying to do Tickle advertising as the consortium tried to do, for the scale of that we're at, bringing in Tickle core team members from overseas or somebody who's done really interesting work is much more useful to the community. I agree. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, there is the advertising for the conference, and one of the things that's on my list, like I said, we're going to try and get a survey out to people for what did you like, how did you hear about it, what's working, and try and do a little bit more tuning for next year. The advertising that Mentor did has made a big difference, although apparently most of the survey reforms that came back for how did you find about the conference was, Brian told me to be here or else. Yeah. Actually, that's been a good thing. Well, just for the heck of it, people from Mentor, put up your hands. Yeah. Okay, at this point, we're down a few, but it's been the biggest single group attending the conference. The internal mailing list and the number of people using Tickle at Mentor has helped a whole lot. If we go into the Bay Area, we really have to get into Cisco and get them to let people know we're there. Yeah, and Oracle. Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple of other companies that use Tickle out that way.
That's always important about location selection. Because Austin, there was a lot of vignette people there. I can't remember. It's often self-selecting because someone willing to host it is in a location where they're obviously using Tickle at their company.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first Solomon's conference, we had, I think, 6 people from CPU there because, we were hosting it, but still, it was to expose the junior people to the whole community. It's just that last year, I kind of hosted it because no one was stepping up to the plate.
Yeah. First introduction to, we shouldn't be relying on one person because, the last minute I said, too busy, I can't do it, and Gerald stepped up to take care of things. This year I knew I was going to be busy far enough in advance that we could get other people to step up. Yeah, Ron?
So, segueing from Gerald's comment, who here is interested in being the local site organizer next year?
Actually, Steve,
please be thinking about that.
2 days ago, he said he'd be interested. Oh,
Gerald says Steve Redler has volunteered a couple days ago. Hopefully, I don't see the chat say, ah!
Okay. Okay, Steve R. still thinks he's interested. Okay. East Coast. Where is he exactly?
Jersey.
Okay. That would be a good thing because we haven't been on the East Coast for a while. So. since Boston, I think.
Yeah.
So.
I know that Mike had to leave already, offered the idea of Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, I've talked a little bit with Mike Doyle, and I spent some time talking with Cindy last night, filling her in on just how much work it was and how much support she could get, and I lied. Yeah, and I'm not going to have time to run it myself next year, but I certainly have time to give anybody else help and tell them what's going on and what you can expect. Basically, you're looking at something that'll average out to about 1 or 2 hours a week for the 6 months or so preceding the conference. The hot thing first is to find a hotel, because we can't start anything until we've got the hotel contract. Hotel and date, and then we can start the publicity and start getting papers and everything. And conference centers, probably good. Hotels that have a conference area. Just for Steve's point, Steve or anybody else, things that we need is a hotel with wireless, at least 2 rooms that will hold about 30 people in classroom setup, and 1 room that will hold roughly 100 people in classroom setup. It's good if the hotel has at least a network hookup. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Gerald's comment is that it's probably better if the hotel gives us a hard wire and we put in our own wireless. And yes, that worked quite well in New Orleans.
Most of the time, the dropouts of the network over here didn't. Most of the network dropouts didn't come from the wireless, but from the authentication system behind it. The streaming server had a wired connection and got the same dropouts because it was behind the same kind of authentication you had to do to get out to the internet.
But we've also had problems with the various Trig wireless networks the hotel having, being a bit close on the channels they were using and blocking each other.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what they're doing probably as well as most of the people in the room do.
I believe the outside staff maintaining the hotel's wireless actually has a clue, but yes, inside the hotel, they know how to run hotels. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's probably been the biggest. Of the years that we have had problems, the network has been the biggest one. You know, the only problem in New Orleans was we couldn't eat enough. Oh, okay. Gerald says that they had problems eating enough when the first New Orleans conference.
I think that was good advertising as well, because those guys had
to
listen to how much fun we were having.
Yeah. Every time we got online for the audio stuff, it was first thing was, boy, you guys are really missing out. You can't eat the food we're eating here. yes. Emily?
And I took 2 years, and I actually didn't learn that much. But I got a lot of information. My trunk is fully loaded already, information. So maybe next year I can just learn something, and then I will attend that. And then also everybody I talk to me, they help me. So I can get some information from where like that. So I enjoyed it very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. An unsolicited testimonial. Any other comments or suggestion for what we should have done? Technical balance good? You know, anybody wanted to have seen more stuff on the core or more stuff on applications or more stuff for just introductory techniques? Yeah, just more stuff, period. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's true. The food here was very good. I'm afraid the low point on food was the Ann Arbor conference. And I'll apologize for that, but it was a cheap conference to run. Reinhard, do you know anything about Tickle Europe?
Where is Jean-Claude?
No, Jean-Claude is back there.
Oh, there he is. We've been discussing about this last night, but not yet anything to tell.
Okay. Reinhard says that there is discussion of Tickle-E.
Asking for the Euro-Tickle.
Yeah. Okay, apparently Tickle Europe is being discussed, but there's nothing ready to be released yet.
Cliff?
Yeah?
Obviously not for the first year or two, but if we build up in the U.S. some funds in conference, maybe we can help also build up the European one. And
yes.
Maybe coordinate so that if we have something that seems like every fall, maybe they can have something in the spring. So it's not like the people in Europe who want to go to both are hitting up two conferences, you know, 3 months apart.
Yes. Yeah, traditionally, Tickle Europe has been in the spring. Is it always spring, summer?
Spring or summer.
Spring or summer. So we don't usually compete temporarily. But yes, Gerald's comment was that the Tickle Corporation could help to support or help to encourage Tickle Europe. And I saw somebody volunteer to do Tickle Australia, but I don't know that she told her husband about that.
Well, Phil Daniel will do it in the restaurant in Epping.
Okay. Okay. Steve says that it'll be in that restaurant in Epping for Tickle Oz.
Regarding ideas, one idea I've been carrying around for a couple of years would be to have some, like other open source conferences are having it, some kind of actually working together on code, probably in parallel to the tutorials for the first 2 days, to have some kind of just another room for people, well, working on the Tickle core, working on extensions, collaborating in an even better way than we already do it via chat and mailing lists. So what would people think about this?
I agree with that.
It would be an incentive for the more insiders who don't hold...
Is that Jeff that agreed with it?
No, me.
Oh.
Who don't hold a tutorial themselves and who don't attend any tutorials to still be here for the first 2 days.
Okay. Steve, make sure you get a hold of Joe Mistachkin. Because he's willing to help with the pre-conference implementers meeting. Regarding FOSDEM, if people are interested, I haven't had it. After Tickle US is when I have a chance to start contacting FOSDEM and seeing what they're willing to do with us again. And if people are interested, I'll be the front man to talk with them again. So people, probably the European ticklers, drop me mail if there's enough interest that we should ask them for space again. Yeah. Okay. Does that count as interest from the U.S. in doing this? Okay, but yeah, it's a short flight from there. Okay. Yeah, that right now the three main things that the Tickle community does to get together is this conference, the Tickle Europe conference, and we've been getting a track and a room at FOSDEM for the past couple of years. FOSDEM is the European Free and Open Source Developers European Meeting, I think it stands for.
It's one other thing we need to get together. The chat.
Yes, I'm sorry, I meant face to face. Yeah, the places where we go out and get a beer. Yes. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Last year we had a big vat of beer sitting in the back of the room to break to, but I'm afraid we don't have that this year.
Is it a beer? I know we had champagne.
Yeah, there was half a dozen beers there too. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. There was there was the champagne left over from breakfast. Yeah, the lobster was the night before. Yes. Okay. Kevin comments that there's been talk about doing a track at Phoenix. I think USENIX would probably welcome us if we wanted to be a track at the technical conference or the main technical conferences. I don't think we have enough momentum to do two full tracks in a year. I think it would dilute the papers too much.
That was a problem when we tried it at the open source convention.
There were a lot of problems that year, but yeah.
The year when we did the conference and the open source convention.
Oh, okay.
Which was the year before when we were at the
conference. Right. Yeah.
Also, USENIX, as I recall, their conference fees are a bit higher than what we've been charging. We already have people complaining about our conference fee.
Yeah. And actually, that's another one that. Okay. Gerald's comment was that, yes, we did dilute things if we. There weren't enough papers to do both a track at OSCON and a TICL conference the year that we did both. And USENIX's technical conference registration fee is higher than our registration fee. Yeah, we've already got people complaining about the cost now. One of the things that is kind of on my I don't know what to do list, the TICL conference fees are fairly high. Our expenses are fairly high. For an academic conference, we're at the low end. If you compare us to things like the Linux conferences and things like that, that rent space at a university and only charge $30 or $40 for membership, nobody gets free meals. You don't get proceedings. It's a different environment.
Linux people refuse to pay for anything.
Yeah. Lance's comment was Linux people refuse to pay for anything, and yeah, I do that too. Okay. Gerald's comment is that if. Okay. Gerald's comment is that if we reduce the membership rates, we will lose credibility with the corporations, and they'll think that it's just a party that they're going to, and it would hurt memberships. Okay. Coder X2 comments he'd like to see more group activities, and you guys can read it. I don't have to repeat what's up there.
More stuff that's like, you know, maybe pre-announced or more organized in terms of like we could go and see, you know, the various local sites or.
We're going to eat Japanese afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to take a field trip with some people to Fry's.
Yeah, like Fry's or like Powell's. Like Powell's and Fry's are sort of the tech centers of Portland, basically. So, and
yeah.
Other things like, you know, just having more discussions and more, you know, round table discussions would be nice. You know, before and after, you know, the actual sessions.
More like the BOFs?
Well, yeah, but I mean, just more of that kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
We also need a multiplayer gaming BOF.
Yeah. Yeah, put your name on the paper. We had a gaming boff at the Ann Arbor convention. It was one of the more popular. Of course, we held it right next to the wine boff.
Perfect.
Yes.
In the wine boff.
Well, that too. Yeah, as Will points out, we held it in the wine boff.
It was a wine and gaming boff.
Yeah. Yeah, wine and gaming boff. Instead of, you know. You know it's a good party when you have to go out to the next morning and say, does anybody know these clothes? Yeah, doing more stuff that would be fun activities would be good. it is hard to just push everything into the schedule. So far as, panels and more interactive stuff. The past couple of years, we've been kind of light on papers, and the panels were a way to put something useful into the time slots. This year, we had an embarrassment of papers. I think we actually turned a couple down. And it's a very good place to be, having more papers than we can present. But it led us to try and squeeze more things in than we probably should have just because we were so happy to have enough and not have to say, all right, who can we get together for a panel that will actually be useful? But
next year we should try to accept fewer papers actually, so that we can get a little bit longer for each one.
Okay.
Okay,
Donald's comment is that it would be nice to reduce the number of papers next year and give them a little bit more. My guess would be a half an hour is a good length for a lot of the papers.
25 minutes.
Okay, he's thinking 25 minutes. Certainly the ones that are talking about core optimizations, they all ran longer than they were scheduled today, and they all could have gone longer.
I don't think all the papers have to have a uniform length of time for presenting. I mean, some stuff may require more time, some may require less, right? If it's an overview, you know.
That's one reason why you want to think about invited talks as well as contributed talks. Invited talk in a typical conference will get a longer period, just like the keynote speaker got.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and Joe's comment was that. Yeah, WIP papers can be short. Application papers can probably be shorter than Tickle Core papers. Ron's comment was that you have invited talks, and possibly at the committee level we can say, this is submitted as a regular paper, but we really want to see this one and make this one an invited talk rather than just a paper, which is basically what happened with Richard last year. Richard did his SQL Lite discussion as an invited talk because he had enough stuff and we had enough time. Yes. Yeah.
And I think that was kind of a conscious decision to try to bring the people delivering the papers in. We actually had, I guess, just enough papers to make the program. So rather than cutting some papers, we just said, let's take them all and make them come here.
Further comments?
Someone will repeat what I just said. I hope someone remembers it because I don't.
we're muttering about whether or not we could give different size time slots. Mumble, 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 beer, 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 mumble, mumble, mumble. Yeah, that was basically it. Yeah. Different size time slots, yes, can be allocated. We've tried to be fair and equal in the past. That's no reason we have to be just divide things up equally in the future.
When is Steve going to get back to us with the hotel selection?
Okay. Steve, do you have any schedule for when you can start looking at, or Steve Redler, any schedule for when you can start looking at a hotel? you want to drop me mail when you get home, that'll work, or when I get home. I can tell you some of the stuff to look for. Brian Griffin can also tell you what he ended up looking for using his criteria here next week. Okay. Yeah, Brian says start 3 weeks sooner than you think you ought to. 3 months, sorry. Yeah, that's... expect to have to go back to the hotels at least twice saying, remember you said you were going to give me a proposal.
I didn't have that problem.
Oh, okay, Gerald didn't have that in New Orleans. That's one of the reasons we weren't in San Diego last year, is because I went to San Diego and visited 8 hotels and talked to their sales staff, told them what we needed, what we wanted, and I got one proposal after 5 pieces of email. I said, I can't run this if I can't be there kicking them personally. Okay. Yeah, you probably have a local convention bureau or chamber of commerce, and they'll give you a lot of help, sometimes useful help. In the Ann Arbor conference, we ended up not going with a hotel that the chamber of commerce sent our way. They just weren't as active. It was a good enough hotel, but... Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, once again, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I think my name is in enough places that people can find me to drop me email if you have any questions or comments that you'd like addressed after the con. I'm probably the point man from here out. Yes. Kevin's comment that a 100 is a weird size. We end up having to usually look around the big hotels downtown. We rattle around in, and they want bigger contracts than we can give them. The small motels in the suburbs that are used to just handling a wedding reception don't have a room that will seat enough people. Yes. There are always people who come in from local and don't rent hotel rooms. For those who have never run one of these things, the hotel is here to make money. But they don't care how they do it. They will do it by renting you the space. They will do it by feeding you. They will do it by selling you hotel rooms that you sleep in. And if you can give them some sort of a combination of that that will make them what they consider an adequate return, then you can get all kinds of other deals. Oh, okay.
Steve, what you'll generally find in dealing with the hotels are they'll set it up a couple ways where you'll have a fixed cost for renting you the room and or the food, and it could be the rooms come free with the food or it's a combination cost. Or what they'll try to do, and this is more risky, they'll say, well, you'll agree to sell this many block room nights, and we'll discount the food, you know, to this much. And as those room nights fall off, the food goes up. So basically what you're dealing with then is a variable fixed cost. You can run it either way with a variable fixed cost or a known fixed cost. You just have to look at them, but they'll try to deal with you one way or the other, or maybe you can push them whatever way you prefer.
Yeah, the basic philosophy for the Tickle conferences has been, if we're going to pay money to rent a room or we're going to pay money to get fed, then I always put the money into feeding us, because everybody gets to eat. There's no sense in just giving them money for the hotel room and then everybody having to pay to go out and feed themselves. And last year we had extra wine. In fact, I think I'm still finishing off some of the wine that I took home from last year. No, I think I carried it someplace or other one or two times after the conference, and then finally decided I was tired of carrying it around.
They should have shipped it here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it looks like we're wrapping this conference up. Again, one last time, thank you everybody for coming. And
thanks for organizing it.
Okay.
Thank you.